Chapter 15. Sentiment. Kakashi waits until the genin are a good 10 minutes down the trail to take his seat across the fire from Kurama. The redhead glances up at him with mild interest, which is far better than the growling, snapping, and snarling Kakashi got when he went to wake the other jonin yesterday morning. Honestly, Kakashi hadn't even known the man could be grumpy. Though, granted, perhaps leaning right down into Kurama's space and staring him awake wasn't the best way to get on his good side. The man has fast reflexes, and only Kakashi stealing the 3 kunai and set of poison senbon out from under his pillow kept those reflexes from being deadly. But Kurama is quiet this morning, something easy in the set of his shoulders and the lines of his face. His blue eyes are calm and almost serene. And in the very first light of dawn filtering down through the trees, his garnet hair glows brighter than coals. The scars on his face are milder in this light, not so much kinder as simply lesser. The golden skin glows, the tattooed seals shimmer faintly violet, and he looks somehow both strange and entirely suited to this place, this moment inside of time. Kurama is beautiful. Though no one would ever mistake him for a woman. Kakashi's never particularly thought of beauty as confined to a single gender anyway. He meets blue eyes squarely, to find them regarding him in return, thoughtful and composed, with no hint of the shaking, grieving man who bolted from Kakashi's apartment the other day, as though a whole pack of missing nin were on his heels. Instead, there's a centered sort of peace, closer to acceptance, and Kakashi figures this is about as close to a perfect opportunity as he'll ever get. It's just about all he's thought of lately, aside from planning this trip, Kurama and his smile, and his laugh, and his lips, his wry good humor, and the sharp edge of his tongue, and the way his hair seems to catch the light and burn. Maybe Anka was the catalyst, but these thoughts aren't new. Even now, Kakashi remembers that afternoon in the rain, when all the world was a wonder and Kurama was the one to let him see it, witness his village through the eyes of a stranger, with no roots to keep him steady. Not then, but Kakashi would like to think that Konoha has given him roots again, ties to people and a place and an idea. Because the will of fire burns just as brightly in Kurama as any Konoha-bred shinobi. Brighter, Kakashi sometimes thinks. And he's good for them, for all of them, the lost Uzumaki. And maybe it's destiny that he settled in Konoha after wandering for so long with the wind. Other Uzumaki have found a home there, and with any luck and hope at all, Kurama will as well. There's an expectant sort of openness in Kurama's face as he watches the other jonin, mug of tea cradled between his palms. It smells faintly floral, delicately sharp, and it fills Kakashi's lungs when he takes a breath in preparation. "The other day," he says softly, and it's a relief when Kurama doesn't tense. The redhead simply looks at him, even though it's entirely clear what he's talking about. There's no other response, though. And Kakashi resigns himself to muddling through this the hard way and forges on. It was my idea, and Anko's presence, but... He fumbles, not sure how to end that sentence, regardless of how many times he's rehearsed this in his head. "Did you want to kiss him?" Iruka's voice whispers in his ear. And yes, he does, which is half the problem. Kakashi doesn't do things like this, have relationships, want to kiss people on anything more than a one-night-only basis. He hasn't ever had to stable anything with someone else, and the thought of having his first when it's actually important is mildly terrifying. Or completely petrifying. One of the two. But Kodama is watching him thoughtfully, and his blue eyes have a faintly warm crinkle to them, amused and sympathetic and kind, and it eases the wild lurching in Kakashi's chest. Another moment, and Kurama drops his gaze, looks down at the cup in his hands and twists it carefully, making the pale green liquid shimmer. But you're wondering if it could be anything else? Something more? He finishes for the copy nin, and there's a slight, wry tilt to his mouth. I'm not entirely sure. Another pause, longer this time, and then he adds slowly, I suppose that would depend on what kind of something more you wanted it to be. The wry smile gets stronger, edges towards wistful. I'm not good at casual, for anything, but especially when it comes to people who are important to me. And you are, Kakashi. My last partner? I knew him from the time we were children, and he was, well, first and only since then. More relationship experience than I can claim, Kakashi says, equally wry. But yes, not casual would be good. Better. Ah! He drags his hands over his face in frustration, almost knocking off his hataiate and twisting his mask out of place. Damn it! Feelings suck! Kurama laughs, bright and startled, and the sound is brilliant and sweet in the morning sun. He's grinning when he looks back at Kakashi, who simply freezes, because he's the type of beautiful that just doesn't make sense. And it's... His hair slides over his shoulder, garnets and embers and crimson spun out into strands, and that alone is enough to steal all of Kakashi's higher brain function. Don't worry, the man says, still chuckling softly. I won't tell anyone you have them. It can be our secret. Catching Kakashi's half-hopeful, half-wary glance, he adds with a warm smile, and I think that us together would be acceptable. Maybe even good. He looks down at his cup, smile faltering, and murmurs, I don't know how much beyond not casual I can promise, Kakashi, but I'll try if you will. Ma, I think I can live with that, Kakashi answers, and he thinks he feels relief and hope and anticipation and maybe even delight. But really, with these emotion things, who knows? The kid's avoiding him, feeling guilty. Obito would find it sad if it wasn't so annoying. A twist of the seal around him, a simple demand for attention, and the air shimmers as the brat appears before him. So different from the boy Obito first met, but the same in all the ways that matter. He's watching Obito with wide and wary blue eyes, and even though he'll never admit it, Obito can understand both Sasuke and Kakashi's infatuation. Bakashi, huh? Obito questions dryly, lazily whirling his shakujo through the air in front of him. He ignores the faint wince his question earns. You know he used to be your teacher, right? The smile Kurama gives him is small and fleeting and bitter. It doesn't suit him. A lifetime ago, he says cynically. Sometimes it feels like more. We're both different people now. I don't think it could have happened in my time. But here? He trails off helplessly. There's an apology on his lips, but Obito slams the butt of his shakujo into the ground with a sharp thud before he can get it out, setting the rings to jangling. The tense silence holds for an endless moment, and then Obito allows himself to chuckle softly. Well, he says philosophically, I can't say much for your taste, or mine for that matter. Another attempt to protest, doubtless to do something stupid and noble like step aside, but Obito waves a hand, cutting him off again, Stop it. Kakashi and me as I am right now, there's no chance of us working. Not in hell. Even beyond the soul in a seal thing. This Kakashi hasn't ever had to face the idea of me not being dead, or me being anything less than the ridiculous saint thing he made me into. It took hours watching me try to enslave the world, followed by 3 years of constant warfare to adjust. This one, I'll always be the teammate martyred in the name of friendship to him. And maybe somewhere inside I'm still that kid, but it's buried deep, and I'm not about to dig it out again. Sorry, brat, this Kakashi's yours, bought and paid for, no takebacks. For one terrifying moment, Obito thinks the kid is going to cry. He recovers, thank fucking hell, and manages a faint, wry smile in place of tears. Thanks, he whispers, dropping his head and scrubbing his palms over his face. Thanks, Obito. I never told you, I don't think, but I'm really grateful you're on our side. Not just because of Mokuton or Kamui, but... To his own horror, Obito feels a flush rising in his cheeks. And really, with his scars, that kind of thing is never pretty. He harumphs and twists around, giving Kurama his back. Go on, get lost, he snaps. Don't you have innocent little kids to corrupt? That earns him a soft laugh. Ah, you're right. But thank you again, Obito. You're a good friend. The damn brat just doesn't know when to quit, Obito thinks, hoping beyond hope that his ears aren't quite as red as they feel. He feels the last of Kurama's chakra fade and sighs, turning around to survey the empty clearing. Just for a moment, he lets himself long for their own time, for a slyly smirking Kappinin whose forgiveness he earned through fire and blood and death. For a man with silver hair and big hands and a bigger heart, a soft mouth over his, deft fingers tracing his scars and a low, lazy rumble in his ear. They had so much, something so beautiful even if it was forged in ash and destruction. They had it until Madara wrenched it away, the way he did everything even remotely good in Obito's life. Rin and Minato-sensei and Konoha and Kakashi. So much, and Obito was so blinded by madness and grief that he never noticed the first three being taken away until it was too late. Didn't have nearly enough time for anything with the fourth. Lost it all, and he can never get it back now, because like Kurama's Sasuke, they're dead. Those here are different people, separate, and can never be what Kurama and Obito lost. A spot of color on the side of the clearing makes Obito sigh. He releases his shakujo, leaving it planted in the ground, and steps across the grass to stand before the little thing. The book is small and lurid orange, the cover tattered and stained with blood and soot, one corner blackened from fire or lightning. And that's only improved its contents, he knows. But still, Obito lifts it carefully, like it's something precious, and cradles it to his chest. It's enough. He closes his eye, shuts out this nighttime world that's so achingly, unbearably empty, and tries not to let the grief overwhelm him. It's enough. It has to be. Naruto staggers to his feet, blood leaking from a bitten lip, covered in scratches from his last flight into a tree, with bruises already blooming on his face and arms and shoulders. But he's firm despite the aches and pains, as set and steady as one of Konoha's ancient oaks, for all that he and Kurama share the blood of a coastal city. He brings his hands up, drops into a ready stance, and breathes out. Again, he says stubbornly. Across the small clearing, his cousin watches him placidly, arms loosely by his sides. His garnet hair is brown with dust, and half of it has fallen out of its braid. And even if that's the only sign that they've been sparring for close to 2 hours now, Naruto is still absurdly pleased with himself to have gotten that much of a hit in. Again, he insists, trying to hide the fact that he's panting, almost swaying where he stands. Orochimaru, he thinks, steeling himself to stand straight once more. Ninjutsu expert. Possibly knows more jutsus than anyone else alive. That's who I'm going to surpass. That's my goal. That's what matters. He sets his feet, calls up the last reserves of his stamina, and repeats, "Again!" Something flashes through Kurama's eyes. It could be amusement or indulgence, admiration or irritation, but Naruto can't see clearly enough to tell through the sweat dripping down into his eyes. "Very well," he says softly, and brings his hands up. Naruto takes half of a very short second to identify the shape of the seal and then moves, leaping out of the way. Rat seal, damn. Chances are it's a katon jutsu. Water, water. Flame roars past his head like a dragon's breath, and Naruto backpedals just in time, fingers flying through a series that's become second nature over the course of the morning. Ox, tiger, three more in quick succession, hands together, and then... Suiton! Gunshot! A flicker of red, too dark for flames, makes him dive to the other side, just as another surge of fire decimates the ground where he was standing. He wheels around, even as he falls, trying again, not water this time. There isn't enough nearby for the powerful jutsus, and Kurama's good enough with fire that anything less won't even faze him. Earth now, and it's hard, the chakra slipping and sliding from his grasp as he tries to force it into shape. But it still comes. Another dodge, more fire, and he rolls away. Sheep, horse, dragon, and hands up again. Doton! Earth dragon bullet! The jutsu leaves his fingers just as Kurama is leaping for him, and it actually forces the jonin to twist and change trajectory. He lands off to the side, already beginning more hand signs. But Naruto started as soon as he completed the doton. With Kurama, he learned not to rest on his laurels within the first 10 minutes. On pain of utter humiliation. Katon, balsam spread! Doton, landslide, Kurama counters, and a wave of earth swamps Naruto's conjured flames. Futon, drilling air bullet! The bare second when neither of them can see is enough. Naruto races through the necessary seals, his last jutsu, because he's only learned 4 of them, 1 for each element, and that's all he can use. While Kurama throws out things he's never even heard of. He nearly fumbles more than once, but manages to finish and cries, "Futon! Great breakthrough!" Unlike with the other elements, wind comes to him like a friend, happy to go where he wants it, and so blindingly simple to shape. He takes it, molds it, and releases it, and the result is the next best thing to a hurricane. Roaring and shrieking through the trees and making the entire surrounding forest lash wildly as it passes. Naruto stares after it in awe, hardly feeling the way his muscles have turned to water in the face of something so awesome. "Congratulations," Kurama says from behind him, making Naruto flinch and whip around, wide-eyed. His cousin grins at him. Only the faintest hint of mischief to show how much he delights in scaring the stuffing out of Naruto, and adds, "I think you just survived your first ninjutsu battle." He reaches out and fondly, proudly, ruffles Naruto's hair. "Good job. You're better at memorization than you give yourself credit for, as long as you put some effort into it." Naruto pulls a face. "Yeah, but ninjutsu is cool. All the other stuff people asked me to memorize was dumb and useless." Kurama laughs softly. "I suppose," he admits. "But really, you did well, even with opposing elements. Though I'm going to assume you're wind-natured after that last blast." He offers Naruto a hand up. "Ready for taijutsu training now?" Naruto manfully bites back a whimper, even as he allows his cousin to help him get vaguely upright. "I guess. Don't sound too enthusiastic, brat," Kurama orders with a wicked grin, mussing Naruto's hair. "We might have to give you a double lesson."
"Kakashi-sensei infected you!"
Naruto realizes with a surge of horror, leaping back and leveling an accusing finger at his formerly sweet relative.
"He's... He's contaminated you!
Kurama just laughs again, pushing him in the direction of their camp. Get lost, brat. You earned a half-hour break, so go enjoy it. I'll make sure we didn't leave anything smoldering. Right now, 30 minutes of inaction sounds like the next best thing to nirvana. Naruto groans gratefully and staggers in the direction Kurama pushed him, trying to work with feet that feel like blocks of lead. He can't remember the last time he was this tired. Not even the day where Kakashi had them doing D-ranks back-to-back from noon until nightfall. It's small comfort to find, when he drags himself back into the clearing, that Sasuke looks just as thoroughly beaten as he feels. The other boy is sprawled out on his back next to the cold campfire, eyes closed and breathing hard, his face sweaty and bruised. Naruto groans something that might be a greeting, dropping down next to him. After a moment of debate, Naruto decides that, yes, he really is that ballsy, and tips over with a grin. His head lands square on Sasuke's stomach, and the Uchiha grunts, then snaps, "Get the hell off, Dobe!" "Make me, Teme," Naruto shoots back, closing his eyes so as to fully appreciate his pillow. "This is revenge for all those times you've stolen the blankets."
"I do not steal the blankets!" Sasuke hisses. "Dobe, I'm warning you!"
"Teme, please shut up!" Sakura groans, soaked from head to toe and clearly at the end of her tether, before collapsing beside them and promptly listing over to use Naruto's arm as a pillow of her own. He whimpers, because the muscles there are all really freaking sore, seeing as Kurama made him practice the hand signs for all the new jutsus at least 50 times each before he was allowed to add chakra.
"Endurance training?" Sasuke asks, and it's almost sympathetic.
Naruto surreptitiously checks the sky for winged pigs. "His hair will be pink with sparkles before we get back to Konoha," Sakura growls, and it's blatantly a threat. The "or else" merely left off the end for politeness' sake. "He had me water walking. On the river. Every time I fell in, I'd get swept half a mile downstream, and then I'd have to run back and do it all over again." Soft, gentle laughter makes them all twitch their heads around to glare at Kurama, emerging from the trees. He muffles it quickly, instead turning a sympathetic smile on the three exhausted genin. "Take an hour," he offers, settling beside the fire and poking at the coals with a stick. "We can afford to take that much time out of torturing you." Sakura mutters something that sounds suspiciously like "saint," which she sure as hell won't be saying as soon as she gets Kurama alone for ninjutsu training. But Naruto will let her keep her delusions for now. It's not like he wasn't already aware of it, learning sealing from his cousin as he has been. Sasuke also looks skeptical, because he knows what a perfectionist Kurama is in Kenjutsu, and the two boys exchange looks before unanimously deciding to keep their mouths shut. Sasuke didn't believe in Kurama's evil side at first either. The small clearing is quiet, Kurama humming as he heats water, but no sound otherwise. Then, without warning, Sakura asks, "If a shinobi wants to specialize in something, is there an official process to it?" Kurama glances up, slightly surprised, and nods. "Yes, for official specialization, you have to fill out a declaration of concentration form for your particular area, and then file it with the Hokage. He adds the information to your file." There's a pause as he studies them, and then he adds, "But most shinobi don't choose to specialize until they're at least chunin, and usually higher level chunin at that. People tend to wait and find out what they're good at first." Naruto drags himself upright with a derisive snort. "It doesn't matter if we're good at it or not right now," he says with mulish determination, "'cause we're gonna work hard enough that we're the best at it, no matter what." Sasuke makes a noise of agreement, pushing up to sit cross-legged. Sakura joins her teammates after another moment, though she looks annoyed at being robbed of her headrest. "I was thinking, I would ask around the village for taijutsu masters," the Uchiha says slowly. When I unlock the shotgun, I'll be able to analyze and copy styles. But until then... He grimaces faintly. Seeing isn't the same as knowing, though, Kurama points out thoughtfully, his expression considering. If you want to be able to incorporate another style into your own, you've got to understand it first. That takes time and dedication, even with a shotgun. That just earns him Sasuke's, "I know this already, why are you wasting time for both of us pointing it out?" grunt. Though it's lacking the condescending edge it generally has, he eyes the redhead for a moment, then says, "You're familiar with the shotgun." Kurama smiles faintly at him, cupping his hands under his chin and resting his elbows on his knees. "I told you I had a friend from the Uchiha clan," he points out, looking wistful and a little sad. "He explained a bit about it for me. But I do think taijutsu is a good idea, especially with how you're progressing at kenjutsu. You're very fast, Sasuke, even for an Uchiha. And you've got far more determination to succeed than most people your age. That certainly helps." Sasuke flushes dull red and ducks his head to hide his face. "Very, very different," Naruto thinks, almost fondly, "than the arrogant Teme who just a month ago would have accepted such words as his due. Of course, part of the reason for the blush is probably because it's Kurama saying it, which is a little... weird." "And Sakura?" the jonin asks, looking over with one brow arched. "I take it you're thinking of specializing too?" Sakura nods, that now familiar glint of steel entering her gaze again. "Medical ninjutsu," she confirms. "And from what I've read, Tsunade-sama augments her strength with chakra. Since medic nins are usually weak and need to be protected, I want to learn something like that as well." "And I'm going to master every ninjutsu anyone can teach me," Naruto swears. "Believe it!" "Hmm." Kurama looks between the three of them, then tilts his head thoughtfully. "You know, if you're really serious about this, there's a way to get declared a permanent squad, which will keep you from being separated, regardless of your ranks." When they all perk up, listening intently, he adds warningly, "It's not a decision to be made lightly. You need your immediate superior's signature, in this case your jonin sensei's, and the approval of at least two other nin above chunin level, who have either served with or trained you. And you can't undo it once it's done. The Hokage takes such things very seriously, and it's pretty much a lifetime commitment. It's rare, too, because those kind of bonds go beyond even genin team connections. You have to be sure." Another shared glance, and Naruto already knows what his teammates are thinking. They'll let it drop for now, pretend to think it over, but they already know they're going to do it. They can't become the next Sannin if they're separated, after all. Naruto smiles a little to himself, thinking of their team introductions on the roof that day, and how Kakashi asked them their dreams. If their sensei asked again, Naruto thinks it's pretty safe to say they've all changed their dreams by now. Oh, he still wants to be Hokage eventually, and he doesn't know if Sasuke's given up his goal yet. But still, it's different. The Sannin are just as respected as the Hokage, just as acknowledged, and being the next Sannin is a team thing, rather than a personal goal. Naruto would rather have his team than that silly hat, frankly. Meeting Sasuke's dark eyes, Sakura's steady ones, Naruto is entirely sure that they feel the same.